This episode is brought to you by Tillet, the style leader in hospitality workwear and hotel and restaurant uniforms. Learn more at tilletnyc.com. Meet and Three is back. We're kicking off our fourth season and celebrating HRN's 10th anniversary with a very special episode about our home, Brooklyn.
Roberta's was such an interesting place with such a strong gravitational pull. It attracted all these different groups.
The neighborhood has changed a lot over the past decade, from its culinary renaissance to the complicated implications of gentrification.
I would say the majority of the people who are members of our co-op definitely have a certain purchasing power, are mostly white, and we are trying to change that.
We're taking you on a journey that spans the birthplace of food radio to buzzy neighborhood pollinators to the transformative health journey of our borough president.
That was my moment of, you know, wow, someone has thrown me a life raft and I'm going to take it.
Subscribe to Meet and Three, that's M-E-A-T plus sign T-H-R-E-E, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show, Life's a Banquet. The show that's edible, spreadable, and Zara,
horrible!
Starring your hosts, me, Brenton Scott, and
me, Zara Tangora.
A show about chocolate and wine and bread, champagne and scandal and crackers in bed.
I'm drunk!
Always.
Life's a banquet, life's a banquet, life's a banquet, life's a banquet.
One another.
Consider it done.
Welcome to Life's a Banquet, a podcast about the highs and lows of all things edible, spreadable, and Breton.
Horrible. And speaking of horrible, I'm pouring a cocktail into my mouth.
Ooh, what kind? Actually, no, don't tell the listeners yet what kind we're drinking.
Mystery cocktail of the day. Welcome, everybody, in case you're just tuning in. Zara Tangora and myself, Breton Scott, are two world-famous global celebrities out to change the world, the food media world of cooking, drinking, and eating as we know it from this point forward.
Slash janitors here at Roberta's Pizza. Second job, no problem. Yeah,
slash volunteer, whatever we can make a buck on.
Does anyone need the backseat of your car washed out?
I also am available. Also available for house cleaning,
birthday
for
parties,
lawn mowing, birthday parties, accordion, fake clown. What else do I do?
Honestly, like if you were a birthday party clown, you'd probably absolutely crush it. I'm just saying.
But I'd be the sad birthday party clown that when he leaves, has the tear in his eye.
I think that constantly. You would be the happy one, but you would also be the one that ended up like in the bathroom, perhaps like blowing the kid's dad.
All right, so anyway, moving forward from I'm not available anymore for Zara just sabotaged my career.
What's going on with you, Brad? What have you been cooking?
Well, this week, I had a couple. It's starting to get nice. We're still in that shoulder season. Sure, there's some asparagus at the market here on the East Coast of New York. Mm-hmm. I made, when vegetables first come out, I love to just eat them. You know what I mean? The new simple thing, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are you going to make with that? And I'm like, I'm going to steam some asparagus. I'm going to squeeze some lemon and butter on it, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I like to taste the purity of the spring, if you know what I mean.
I do. I do know what you mean. And so does that kid's dad at the birthday party. No, I agree with you. I feel the same way. Sometimes I'll even just get real crazy and just nibble an asparagus raw.
Oh, yeah. Well, as you probably know, ramp season has probably almost come and left. They're still there, but I'm kind of like, I'm a little ramped out.
Kind of like ramp schmamp,
honestly. Right, do you guys know what ramps are? Ramps are wild leeks. They look like lilies of the valley.
Yeah,
right?
They look like Anne of Green Gables.
And the name does not match the leaf. You're like, ramp. Like, it sounds so unappetizing. Like, oh, let's have some ramp pasta.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want a ramp.
It sounds like a dirty sex act.
Yeah, or like the wheelchair ramp.
I don't know what's wrong with me this morning.
Yeah, I do. Therapist? Yes, she's acting up. So what else did I make? Yesterday I had kind of an epic day. It was very sunny, but I was like, I was determined to cook because I'm leaving for a few days to throw a party for my mother's 70th birthday party.
Fab.
So I have to prep for that, but I have to go to Milwaukee. Anyway, so I went through the fridge and I like kind of made everything. I made some tzatziki yesterday.
Yum!
I made a blue cheese, classic blue cheese dip, like buttermilk. I used Duke's mayonnaise.
Hell yeah.
I worked for Duke's mayonnaise a few weeks ago and I...
Oh.
apparently it's very, I told a friend from Tennessee, I said, oh, I work for this silly little mayonnaise company I've never heard of called Duke. He's like, what? You worked for Duke's mayonnaise? He's like, that's better than Hellman's. And I said, whoa.
Hey.
But the Southerners have different ways of making laws, and they have different,
Everything is upside down and right side up.
Well, speaking of different ways of making laws in the South, we can turn our attention quickly to the chaos of what was the Alabama, the abortion laws, right?
Horrifying.
And in lieu of that, there was a bake sale going on by what's her name?
Natasha Pitskowitz.
Pitskowitz. I can never say her last name. She's a very well-known regard and very regarded pastry chef here in New York. She works at the Estella Sister Restaurant Cafe Ultra Paradiso. Mm-hmm.
I believe she's the pastry chef for the group.
Okay, for the whole group. And I went this morning. I thought I'd get an early... I was like, watch this. I'm going to hop on my bike. I'll get there right at 11 a.m. They were doing this Planned Parenthood bake sale. It's supposed to be really big this year, obviously. And I got there at 11:05, and I was about 400 people to wait in line.
Yeah.
Like, I was the last of 400 people.
That's crazy. And thank goodness for that. And, like,
they're
really
going to raise a ton of money.
There's so much, I mean, so much more to say on this. I have a little piece that I'd like to end the show, kind of, because it's a little bit somber. So I'm going to jump back to this later. But it's awesome that she's doing this, the whole group's doing it, all the participating restaurants. We super salute you. Next year, we'd love to participate.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, in case
it's
you're
really
listening
awesome.
To this
Amelia Hall,
next year.
Mm-hmm. Our friend from Roberta's.
She's the lead at Roberta's bread baker.
Yeah.
She runs the bread program here at this restaurant in this radio station. Sarah, what did you make this week?
I just wanted to mention that Amelia made vagina cookies. And Bretton
I went
like,
on Instagram. I said, Amelia there. And she made the strangest shape of cookie. It looked like a slit, like an oval slit. And in the middle, there was red jam. And on the outside, there's a Swiss meringue buttercream that looks like lips. What is that? It's like when you're a kid.
Bretton, I had to sit him down and put him right on my knee.
Yeah.
I was like, that's the vagina. And he goes,
You came out of that. Just remember.
Oh, man. So what did I make this week? Well, sitting in front of you is one thing that I made this week. And there's a funny story attached to it. So I've presented my dear friend Bretton with a piece of rhubarb crumb cake.
Hold on.
Big crumb cake. Now, Jesse and I were talking about the other night crumb cake and how delicious it is and when it has a big, giant crumb on it. So yesterday I go to the farmer's market, I get some rhubarb, I make this crumb cake, I set it out to cool.
It's moist.
Thank you. It is pretty good, isn't it?
Like that cookie.
I didn't put cinnamon in it. I know you don't really like cinnamon in baked goods sometimes. So this is a cardamom and like nutmeg kind of crumble topping.
Mm.
So I lay this out to cool and I kind of like think to myself,
my
I go, just one of those passing thoughts. And I find that those passing thoughts are the ones that actually always turn out to be true. Somehow it's like you jinx yourself with a passing thought. You have to really concentrate
on
what
if
don't
I,
want to
like, what if I really did get fired from this favorite job I have? And then...
Exactly. Yes.
You get the pink slip.
Ding, ding. So... Anyway, I have passing thought, oh man, because I have squirrels on my back porch. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if a squirrel's going to smell this and try to get in. So I lay down for like a 10-minute nap around like 5 p.m. The cake is cooling probably 20 feet from the window. And I hear, and I never nap either. So I happened to have napped yesterday. I was tired.
Never say never.
And I hear in my kitchen. I was like, what the hell is that? It's like, wakes me from my slumber. So I go into the kitchen and I find a squirrel has reached its fucking head and arm. It is halfway through my screen, almost in my... Chewed and clawed.
Yeah, they will do that.
With two other squirrels behind it, ready to come inside. So if I had waited like 30 more seconds, I would have awoken to a home full of squirrels.
Chomping on your rhubarb crumb cake.
Eating my rhubarb crumb cake. But anyway, it would have been an even funnier story. But I kept them out. I shut the window. And then this thing proceeded to keep trying to get in. Slamming itself against
so
the window.
So if everybody wants to know the cure to lure squirrels in, it's rhubarb crumb cake. But it has to have cardamom in
yeah.
it.
Yeah, no cinnamon.
Nope.
Squirrels hate cinnamon.
I hate cinnamon.
So, yeah.
Wait, we forgot to mention what we did. Our big event of the week.
Please.
We forgot. First of all, we were very honored.
Very honored.
To have been asked to be... By the way, Zara and I are up for food judges.
Mm-hmm.
It's our third event. So if you'd like us to judge your food... Your contest, we are there for you. Big, small, medium.
We'll just come to your house and be like, your dinner's
five
out of 10.
Yeah, like Aunt Susie's lip. I don't know what
your meatloaf is trash. Goodbye.
Get it out of here.
You're fired from your own house.
Uncle Jimmy, you're the winner from now on. Your meatballs are the best. But so we were invited to, for the Red Hook Volunteer Firefighters Association, they had a chili cook-off. And I have to say, not that I didn't have any expectation. I was like, oh, it's like non-cook stewing thing. But I found out that that's not true, that actually firefighters spend a lot of their time cooking.
A lot.
Because they spend a lot of time together and they have a lot of downtime. And so a lot of the firefighters were like super pro cooks.
Super pro.
Like more pro than myself, I would dare to say. A couple of the guys, like one guy was on MasterChef. It was on like a TV show. I was like, whoa, you guys are and they were so proud of everything.
They were great. And it was the Friends of Firefighters, which is a great organization that does a lot of outreach and support for firefighters that the city, what the city can provide, Friends of Firefighters steps in. And I just thought it was such a warm, wonderful environment of these really kind people, diverse group of people,
oh
different
my God.
Ages, so, yeah, yeah. races, genders, everything. It was really like a cool, wonderful kind of thing to see. And there was kids and families and everyone just seemed heartfelt and happy.
It was great.
Extreme positivity.
A chili cook-off and man, did we have some good chili.
The green one won.
Yeah, there was a chili verde, which is very common in Colorado and Utah and New Mexico, all that. It's like, you know, green chili, everybody in Colorado. So when I lived in Colorado, that was kind of a new thing for me. So I was like, oh my God, it was really nice to have a taste of the old West.
Yeah, it was really good. So big ups to all the firefighters and to firefighters in general. I feel like they're just the bravest people that we have around. Just selflessly throwing themselves into literally burning buildings.
And large and strapping men.
Yeah.
And just gonna throw that out there.
Kind of easy on the eyes. Yeah, if you're not
you know what I'm saying.
Hey, call me.
Yeah, I'm a clown.
So anyway, Brett and I are drinking orange drinks right now with orange juice. Neither of us really like what we're drinking, but we're doing it because
tequila. In case you haven't guessed, the name of the show this week is tequila.
Tequila.
Now, this is where I come in and tell you.
I'm sorry.
Tequila has such a strong emotional threshold for a reaction, right? We think of tequila, we think of drinking.
Sorry. Yeah,
like vomiting from Cuervo Gold. Salt licks on your hand, lime squeezes, too many late nights. But of course, the tequila industry in the United States anyway has, I guess, upped its ante. And now there's such celebrities like George Clooney pawning his...
Oh, yes.
His form, right? He sold it, so it doesn't even matter. I'm not even going to mention the name because...
Yeah, Cazadores?
No, Cazadores is the one we used to do shots of.
Oh, perfect. See?
Yeah,
tequila.
Exactly.
Tequila, so anyway, you ruined my life.
We've went beyond the world of Jose Cuervo. We've gone to Patron, and now Patron's uncool. Then it was Don Julio, and Don Julio's uncool. You can always know by the mentioning of certain rap songs. They always name the popular tequila.
Yes, the popular tequila.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, so now there's like Casa Dragones. That's like a big expensive one now.
Casa Amigos was George Clooney's.
Casamigos.
Or ER, the tequila.
ER, the tequila. So tequila is from the country of Mexico, and specifically near the state of both Jalisco and Guadalajara. There's actually a city called Tequila, and here's a little factoid, that tequilas are mezcals, but mezcals aren't tequila. Because tequila is a type of mezcal. Tequila is made specifically from the blue agave plant, and those are kind of like the big, they look like giant aloe vera cactuses, and then the fruit is called the piña, which kind of looks like a pineapple, and much of the harvesting of the agave plants is still done by human labor and not like, you know, high end factory farm machinery. So this is a very laborious practice. It's very, very, it's pretty old in terms of spirits. And here's what happened. There was some kind of drink that they used to have called pulque or something. And then during like mid 1600s, during the time when Spanish conquistadores came over, right? Mm-hmm. And pillaged the cities and were like, this is ours now.
Yes.
Apparently they ran out of brandy and they used this particular process. They started fermenting and distilling their own liquor out of what they had there. And
in this case,
that's sort of how tequila may or may not have been born.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And then it was about 100 years later, then they started to, you know, actually make tequila and and started around, you know, like 1700, 1800, yeah. You know, mid, then they were like, oh, this is another type of liquor.
Totally. Right?
So, and then it was, of course, exported and...
Yada, 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 Margaritaville.
You're in college. Wasting away, you're in a margarita. And Jimmy Buffett is now making billions of dollars off of...
Jimmy Buffett, the yeah. Jimmy Buffett 2020.
And now, okay, sorry to interrupt myself. Go ahead. Oh, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to mention how Jimmy Buffett will probably be president because, you know, the world is a flaming hot garbage pile. But no, go ahead, please.
Yes, it kind of is, actually. But the one question that people always ask when, and I used to bartend, is like, oh, the tequilas, what's the difference between the Blanco, the Silver, and the Reposado, and the Añejo? Very good question.
It's a very good question, mister.
Very good question. I forget sometimes, too. So Silver, or Blanco, is just the pure expression of the agave plant. This type of tequila, after it's been distilled, can be aged in a variety of, you know, of it can be like stainless steel, it can be in white oak. Which is traditional for tequila, but it is not aged. So that's the whole point. That's just sort of, it goes right from there to the cask and then...
Fresh off the press, basically
less than 2 months. Now, Reposado is the next level, and those are usually kind of slightly ambery looking, and those are tequilas that are... The word means rested. Reposado. Right? Oh. So it is a minimum of 2 months and no more than 1 year. That this is like Mexico law, so don't...
Right, it's like the DOC, like...
Exactly. Like don't
wine or anything else.
Don't fuck with the Mexican law.
Yeah.
Right. So, and then after that, it becomes their third category, which is called añejo, which means old, aged, whatever. And that is a minimum of 1 year and apparently no more than 3 years. And I think in 2006, they made the Tequila Masters of Mexico, as I call them, made a extra añejo category. So there's technically four, and that's more than 3 years.
Okay.
So I guess to make a long story short is that there's just, if you like a clean taste, go with the Blanco. And then, of course, the Añejo, they're aged in white oak. So it sort of takes on the characteristics that whiskey would take on.
Totally.
And that's why they're darker and they have like vanilla flavors. I like Blancos.
I like Blancos too and Reposados. So you're saying like if you want to just have something kind of really like entry level but easy to drink, you'd go with a Blanco. If you want to like sleep with a stranger... In the back of a pickup truck, you'd go with like an extra añejo.
And if you want to meet the man of your dreams that owns a yacht and is a trader,
drink champagne.
Yeah. Be a clown. And be a clown for his child's birthday party. And drink añejo. Yeah. So,
oh, there we go. That's funny.
But yeah, basically, so those, in terms, I mean, we could go again, Tequila could have its, I think they do have their own podcast. And
yeah,
there's a lot of like, you know, the distillation process and the alcohol process and the flavors that they use. But, and there's a really, you know, again, mezcals are really popular right now and they are similar, but not the same as tequila.
Right.
So just to get this clear, we're talking about tequila here.
This is the Tequila Show. Mezcal, see your way out, please. Mm-hmm. Use the back door. So, should we take a quick break and hear from our sponsors?
We should quick take a break because I'm going to slam a couple shots and we'll be back after these messages.
Okay, bye.
This episode is brought to you by Tillet, the style leader in hotel and restaurant uniforms. Tillet is redefining workwear for the hospitality industry, ensuring that you and your team feel great from stove to street. Tillet is a full line of workwear clothing from pants to work shirts, chef aprons, jackets, dresses, chef coats, and more, with over 95% of their garments produced in the USA. Each hotel and chefwear collection is timed with the seasons, comprised of exceptional functional fabrics and built to last. Custom uniforms can be tailored for your restaurant, hotel, or store. Learn more at tillitnyc.com. That's tillitnyc.com.
Are you enjoying this podcast?
Heritage Radio Network has plenty more.
I'm Patrick Martins.
I'm Brandon Hoy.
And I'm Emily Pearson. Together we host The Main Course OG, where we cover food news and culture. Browse episodes of The Main Course OG wherever you listen to podcasts and on heritageradionetwork.org.
And they're back.
Oh my God.
The gruesome twosome.
Well, I went to grab a bottle of tequila here in the studio and they're all empty.
What about that Don Julio?
It's empty.
What is it doing there?
Don Julio Reposado.
Excuse me, room service.
Yes?
This is unacceptable. We have empty bottles at the bar here at Heritage Radio. Didn't we put in our rider that we need all full bottles of liquor?
Yeah, well, I think Somebody drink it all.
Somebody's getting fired. Matt, Jeet, somebody. Somebody explain themselves. So anyway, my topic for today is a drink that we are drinking right now, which I never drink, mostly because I'm not a fan of orange juice. Yeah, that's right. I said to people, I don't like orange juice. Call me.
We're not going to talk about the typical drink, margarita, because we all know what that is.
Right, a margarita's delicious.
Although, did you know that apparently the margarita came from a drink called the Daisy?
No.
Did you hear about this?
I didn't. Can
it
you
was
tell
like
me?
Lime
Wait,
and on I don't know. There was a, I just was doing some research, and it's a very similar drink, and then I don't know, somebody changed it. Margarita means Daisy.
Does it have an interesting
story? That's the word. Like, that's the...
Right, right.
So they just copied the drink and put tequila in it, and they're like, yay.
I love a margarita. It may be my number one favorite drink. And
a lot of people's, yeah.
What we're drinking right now may be my number, like, 150. I really don't like it. There's grenadine. So this recipe that
we're super
drinking.
We're super passionate about
this
story.
Yeah, this is a great story. No, actually, it is a great story. It's pretty fun. It takes a lot of twists and turns. So the drink as we know it today, which was created in the 70s, I'll get back to that in a second, is tequila, OJ, grenadine, and garnished with a cherry and a lime.
The tequila sunrise. I think of... Caribbean cruises. I think of
Jimmy Buffett for president.
Jimmy Buffett for president 2024. I think
lots
I think
of
lots
shirts.
Of blonde women with fake blonde hair.
Totally.
And just enjoying themselves on a
absolutely. You know. A bunch of cornballs who like go to Jamaica or like Cancun, but they like don't like experience any of the culture. They kind of just stay right in the resort and they're all wearing those like weird Crocs.
You know, I bartended for many years, on and off, and I think, you know, even in the last 10 years, there was a specific type of person, like one out of every 400 customers would ask for a tequila sunrise, and I'd always be like, like,
really
like red, yeah,
plank.
Red, orange, and tequila. I was like, and I would put whatever, like, was available, and nobody knew or cared the difference. Like,
that's funny. That's like when I used to bartend at Black Door. People would come in and ask for crazy things. They're like, let me get a Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse or like a buttery back of my knee. And I'm like, perfect. And I would just hand them a shot of Jameson. Like anything that wasn't a pure shot. Like if someone asked me for like a slippery ding dong, I was like, great, here you go. Here's your slippery ding dong. They're like, this is just whiskey.
I asked for a slippery nipple, yeah. But like, it's like the same
this
thing, but it has
it
aged. This is our version.
Yeah. It's just Jameson. That's going to be $25. Thank you.
I'll have the voluptuous vulva, please.
Please write in with your favorite weird shots. Okay, so the history of the tequila sunrise is actually pretty interesting. So the original drink, which was concocted in the 1930s, there's two different origin stories. One says that it was concocted at the Arizona Biltmore Hotel and created by a gentleman by the name of Gene. I'm sorry, but his name is like Slut It.
Okay.
Okay.
James Gene Slut It.
Also, I got all my information from Wikipedia and Tales of the Cocktail. So take it out with them. And the original recipe actually sounds delicious. It was tequila, cassis, lime juice, and soda water.
Wait, why aren't we making those more often?
No clue. I don't know why. I mean, I do know why, actually. I'll tell you in a second.
Okay.
Why. The second theory of where it came from is that it was invented at the Agua Caliente, a huge Prohibition-era resort in Tijuana, where, quote, it was a place where people from Southern California could go drink, gamble, bet on the horses, have a bet on the track, a hotel, a casino. All the Hollywood people would fly down there.
Oh, my God.
How fabulous. Can you picture it? Clark Gable on a horse drinking a
Wait,
tequila
how could
sunrise?
They didn't have airplanes in the 1920s.
40s.
Oh,
40s. Yes, 40s. Aviation was all the rage. Maybe you'd take the train. Perhaps you'd go in a buggy.
That's like what we're going to have in 20 more years. We're like, we're just flying into space. Have you heard of SpaceX?
Have you heard of my portable wings? You just like take flight like whoosh.
Yeah, it's happening, folks.
I'll be dead by then for sure. So anyway, very glamorous beginnings. I think of like Prohibition era hotels just sounds so cool. But I guess we were right. Prohibition was in the 30s.
In the 20s. Yeah, just told...
Something's wrong about the Tales of the Cocktail. Call us.
Sorry to...
You're on blast. Anyway, you get the point. It was a classy...
Maybe they just didn't fly. Maybe they just went down there. It's not far from California.
Yeah,
I mean, they probably
I didn't
just...
say fly.
Oh, you just... Okay.
Well, that's the whole problem. You weren't listening.
All right, well... This podcast is live, and
this
I shall be
back,
and I will go back and rewind and listen to that. And if I'm wrong, so be it.
I hate Brendan and Zara. They don't know anything. All right, so listen, people, let's get back on track here. So the more modern version of the cocktail was created in the 1970s by Bobby Lozoff and Billy Rice. They were working at the Trident in Sausalito, California, which is just north of San Francisco. Ever heard of it?
Yes.
So think cheesy 70s bartenders. Everyone is wearing brown polyester.
We're going to make something real big. We're going to make something real big. It's going to change the world.
So they do make it. And then there was a private party at the Trident organized by Bill Graham, not to be confused with Uber preacher Billy Graham. But Bill Graham, who was a guy who had organized concerts a lot in the 70s, so he throws this huge party to kick off the Rolling Stones Exile on Main Street tour. And
classic.
Mick Jagger has one of the tequila sunrises that we're drinking right now, the OJ Grenadine version, and becomes obsessed with it. And they order them
after his sixth rail of cocaine. Was like,
yes,
this is really
like,
good.
This is the most goddamn delicious drink I've
ever had. Delicious.
That's Australian.
Yeah. Oh, I can't even sweep in my chimney. Whoops. Whoops. That's a Cagney. Oh, whoops. Okay.
Oh my God, I'm going to pee. Okay, so anyway, they order them. It becomes the cocktail of the tour, of the Exile on Main Street tour. They order them all across the country as they
Every
go through America.
Every hotel we would like to walk into, like,
exactly.
Pass trays of tequila
cocaine
sunrises.
Cocaine and tequila sunrise. So it becomes known as the Cocaine and Tequila Sunrise Tour.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
Can you imagine?
Butt chugging tequila sunrises.
The purest of Colombian cocaine in the 1970s.
Can you imagine, honestly, how much fun that must have been,
like,
to be a fly on the wall?
Numbed face. Your hangovers weren't as bad, I don't think, back then.
No, absolutely not. To be a rolled up dollar bill in the nose.
Condoms weren't even like a part of lifestyle. Yeah, they're like, what are those?
Exactly. No, it must have been really amazing. So in 1973, Jose Cuervo picked up on the drink and started marketing it and put the recipe on the back of all of their bottles. And then in that same year, the Eagles recorded on their Desperado album a song that was called Tequila Sunrise. I have a few of the lyrics here for you. Take another shot of courage. Wonder why the right words never come. You just get numb. It's another tequila sunrise. This old world still looks the same. Another frame.
Wow.
That's not the melody. I've never heard the song. I'm paraphrasing.
I felt a very deep emotion.
Yeah, exactly. I just had a desperado. Do you ever see that Seinfeld where, like, Elaine's dating the guy and his song is Desperado and every time it comes in, he's like, shh, shh. And he just needs to, like, listen to it alone.
Missed that.
Yeah. Well, go look it up, people. So, anyway, the 1970s and 80s were a terrible time for cocktails. They were all very sweet, and a lot of people will argue, as I was reading in Tales of the Cocktail in this article, that it almost destroyed cocktail culture in America altogether because
thank God for
dive.
The Cosmo.
Thank the Lord. Am I right, ladies? How about a mudslide? So anyway, also, this ties back to our brief, for any, like, listeners who are really paying attention, you'll remember last week I mentioned Hollywood America's sweetheart Raul Julia, whose eyeball had fallen out in an interview.
Yes, I do recall that.
With Geraldo Rivera. And then he ate it like a pug. Anyway, here he is again. So, in the 80s, a movie was made called Tequila Sunrise. This is a synopsis. In a seaside California town, best friends Mac, Mel Gibson, and Nick, played by Kurt Russell, are on opposite sides of the law. Mac is a former drug dealer trying to clean up his act, while Nick is a high-profile detective trying to take down a Mexican drug lord named Carlos, played by none other than the one-eyed wonder, Raul Julia. Soon, Nick's loyalties are put to the test when he begins an affair with restaurateur Joanne, played by none other than, guess who, America's sweetheart, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Course.
A love interest of Max, unwittingly leading his friend into a police-orchestrated trap. This is Tequila Sunrise. Dun, dun.
What's that, the movie?
Yeah, it's a movie.
There's a movie called Tequila Sunrise?
Yeah, that's what I just fucking said.
Sorry, I lost track. There were so many characters and I got confused.
There was a movie in the 80s called Tequila Sunrise starring Raul Julia, which I thought was very interesting since I had so randomly mentioned him last week as father in the Addams Family.
So as you can see, this drink was powerful.
It had a lot of pull and swag. Honestly, for a drink that
it has a lot of sugar.
It's disgusting. I can't stand it.
Well, let's talk really briefly about other drinks. I mean, obviously there's the margarita, which I think is pure, simpler, and
never heard of
better.
It.
Yeah, me neither. Apparently, they have them in every corner bar. But a margarita, does it traditionally have triple sec in it? Is it supposed? I can't remember the recipe.
Cointreau.
Which is a triple sec, which is, you know, the orange liqueur. Don't get the cheap stuff because it makes it taste cheap.
Yeah, I mean, when you have triple sec, then it tastes, that's like a shitty margarita. Better as Cointreau, the best would be Grand Marnier.
Exactly. Well, I don't actually don't like Grand Marnier much because it's aged in oak and it has it actually kind of takes over the tequila. I've found, they're both high quality. It's a different flavor.
It is a different
Not bad
flavor.
Or worse, just
There's
different.
Actually a very interesting thing called Salerno. You know Salerno? It's that blood orange liqueur.
Yeah.
From like Sicily. That is very good in a margarita.
It is. It's not as, I don't think it's as sugary, which I guess is the key. I think people think of when they have a margarita, it's supposed to be sugary, but I actually don't even put sugar in mine.
Really?
Especially when you use the liqueur because it is sweet. So why would you add more sugar?
I like a well-balanced margarita.
Just no grapefruit.
If you put orange juice in a margarita, I just want to say this right now to everybody that is listening. I do not want to be your friend. I don't want to drink your drink. And I don't want to have anything to do with you ever again.
Wow. Well, make sure you know.
Don't do it. It's really funny, actually. On FOH, I was listening to their show a couple weeks ago, and somebody had put...
That's another podcast, by
the way. Yes. The girls may or may not be a special guest on our show coming up. But Lillian was saying that there was a guy who put some orange juice in her gimlet, and... terror ensued. Also, don't put orange juice in a gimlet, in a tequila gimlet.
That's
strange.
Doesn't
belong there either. So, what are some ways on our Chef Recommends this week, Brett and Scott, or Scott Breton, however you pronounce it?
Exactly. Breton?
Breton.
Question mark?
How are some ways that you would use tequila at home that are maybe... you know, for cleaning, for washing your hair, ways.
Butt chugging, et cetera. Besides that. Well, in my flask, which you'll often find in my backpack at all times, oh my gosh, I forgot. I went to the Bjork concert, she put on opera, not to interject and talk about me, but let's talk about me. And I went to the Bjork concert. It was front row center. I could touch her. She was 3 feet away from me.
It's amazing.
And I didn't know what to do because I brought a tequila flask and I... before she came on stage, obviously, she's right in front of me, and I'm like, I think she would have taken a sip, though, because she encouraged me to dance, not me, but she was, like, right in front. She's like, and if anybody wants to dance to this last song, please feel free. I don't want to inhibit you. But I'm like, but then I was like, would that be kind of weird if the guy in the front row that was 36 inches from Bjork started? I would be almost as her stage was only 2 feet higher than my seat.
Right.
So if I started dancing on stage... I feel like she would have asked me to come up on stage.
Of course, I mean, look at her hair.
I got too scared. I was like, it was too intimidating.
And then someone in the crowd who like was an arch nemesis of yours would looked up and gone, Breton?
And I'm like dancing. Anyway, sorry, to make a long story short, tequila, other uses besides just to put in your margarita or your gullet in a flask. So I love one of my very old favorite recipes, which I've mentioned, from a restaurant in Chicago I used to work at called Salpicón, which is closed, owned by this woman named Priscilla Sackhoff, who lives in Mexico now. She used to have this tequila lime sorbet with serrano chilies, right? So tequila lime sorbet is very easy to make because when you add booze to sorbet, you don't have to worry. It doesn't freeze as thick, so it kind of maintains that nice slushy texture. So you know, you get some water, you get some lime juice, proportions and ratios to be... put up on Google, not by me, and and some sugar, and then you just add some tequila, and you can even add some Cointreau. And then you churn that, and then right before you put it in the freezer, you stir in some serrano chilies, and you let that sit, and it's like the cleanest, hottest. And whenever I have a frozen dessert that has something heat, you know, like a chili in it, you have to keep eating it.
Because
it's so hot, right?
Yeah.
That's a great way. And then another thing that I looked up was... to cure salmon or tuna with some tequila.
Ooh,
and you can do this, a lot of people, right? You've heard of like a whiskey aged beef.
Right, or like Gravlax.
Gravlax, right? If you throw like a tablespoon or two of tequila in there with the bag, you let it marinate overnight, 24 hours, 48 max, whatever. You could have that flavor of tequila imparted. And I would use a Blanco because you want that pure, clean flavor.
Yeah.
And then use that with your next like tuna ceviche tacos, right?
Yeah, that sounds delicious.
Those were my two ways. What about you?
Well, so at Brucey, we used to do a lot of plays on things that were cocktail inspired. So we would do like Negroni braised pig's head.
That's right.
Negroni short ribs, and it would be like the things were braised. So we did the same thing a couple times with, like, I think we did like braised pork, and it was like margarita pork. So because pork takes well to having like sweet and savory. So if I remember correctly, I think we used like green grapes as like the kind of sweet thing. Pork shoulder, tequila, lime, lots of orange.
That sounds good. What?
Cointreau.
Orange?
Orange zest.
Okay, okay. Well, apparently you don't ever want to know yourself.
Orange zest.
Sounds like you're running away from yourself.
That's true. I hate myself. That's why I put the orange in there.
Looking at the woman
in the mirror. We can't sing that anymore. That's not okay.
Says who? Some fake documentary maker? I don't believe that.
Oh, my God.
I don't believe it. I don't care. Go ahead. Email us.
Okay, fine. Let's move away from Michael Jackson for a moment and go on to our top three. Now, we had previously said we would do our top three this week about top three favorite things with tequila in it, but I actually have a question. Do you want to do our top three favorite places to get a tequila drink?
Maybe yeah, sure. Or maybe like your top three. We can even do different ones. Why don't I do my top three favorite tequilas?
Yes.
And I'll give you, because I've drank a lot and I used to work at a tequila bar and I used to blackout drunk for 4 years on tequila.
Great.
And I don't remember which ones I had. So there's no perfect person to tell you the best and worst tequilas.
Totally.
And also I've had the most expensive ones, obviously, for free.
Yeah. Duh.
Yeah. At all of the jobs that no longer let me come back and work for them because I earn my wages basically in tequila. Okay. Top three favorite tequilas. Okay. Now, there's a lot of different tequilas and a lot of different budgets out there, and there's a bottle and a price for everyone. Probably right now, and I'm trying to think of things that are really easy to get around America or maybe even a different country. I like for like regular margarita making, even for sipping, like in Mexico, they just take a little shot and you just sip your tequila, right? So
right.
I do that. I get Casadores Blanco. Love it. It's $27 a bottle. Or my next one is Herradura Silver, and you can get that in a 1 liter bottle for around $30-$32.
Okay.
It'll last you a while. It's really clean. It has a really, it makes a really nice, clean, like wonderful, tasty margarita. And you can also put it in your flask and have four shots in the front row of a beer concert.
Perfect.
While security stares at you and you have to convince them not to kick you out. My second, and that's kind of like my top bang for the buck, right? Next one, I love, there's one called Chinaco. Chinaco is in the kind of this funny oval bottle, and it's Chinaco Reposado. There's three levels, you know, there's the Blanco, the Reposado, and Añejo. I love the middle one, the Reposado. I don't know what it is. It makes a wonderful margarita. It's super smooth. It's divine. It's a little bit more expensive at like 40 or 45. And then I love another one called Casa Noble Cristal. And I've seen that in places such as Salt Lake City.
Okay.
I don't know why, I just like... In the Mormon mecca of the United States.
So the favorite of Mormons.
Casa Noble Cristal is probably $35-$40 a bottle. Uh-huh. Again, like a little bit more expensive. It's not going to, you know, at the average cost of a cocktail these days in the United States at $16, you can buy a $35 bottle and you know, $40 bottle. So those are my three favorites.
Okay.
And again, I'm sure I'll have lots of people like, "What, you didn't even mention, like,
you didn't talk about,
you didn't like have an añejo." I don't love añejos. I think they taste too much like whiskey, and I just
this is your podcast.
Yeah,
you can say whatever you want.
There you go. I just said it, influencer with
Dad.
Less than 100,000 followers on Instagram, but I can still influence.
You're influencing me.
I'm a sure influencer. Ready?
And our two mothers who are listed, the only people listening to this. Yeah. Moms, are you influenced
my
by
my mom's
Brendan?
Like, now who's tequila? Okay, go
and my mom's like already drunk.
Yeah.
Just kidding, Bobby. Okay, so I'm going to say my top three margaritas around town that I love.
There you go.
That are the most delicious.
Oh, this is a good thing to know.
I know. So my number three is at a place called Barrio Chino. Has anyone ever been there?
Been there, yep.
It means like, what, Chinese neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Barrio Chino is like an old school place. It's been there forever. It's in the Lower East Side in Manhattan. Very small. Just like a staple. I haven't been there in years.
And it's supposed to be kind of a take on there was a thing in New York, and Chinese restaurants used to like disguise themselves as like Tex-Mex.
Oh, I
remember
didn't know that.
Back in like the 70s. And so you would be like,
oh my God.
They'd be like, quesadilla. And that was the whole point. And then you would go to this little Chinese restaurant that was a Mexican, quote unquote, before New York had Mexican restaurants.
Right.
And you would walk in and you'd be like, I'll have the quesadilla. But it was like a rice, it's like a rice crepe filled with like canned beans and then like sriracha.
What?
Oh my God. There's that.
All right,
was
we have
the whole,
to look this up.
They're still around.
That's absolutely amazing.
Okay, so I think that was, so it's Barrio Chino.
Love Barrio Chino.
Kind of a take on that.
A new favorite that I actually I went to the other a couple months ago that I've really been liking, Oxomoco.
Oh, yes. In Greenpoint. Yes.
Really tasty.
Very hip, very trendy right
very
now.
Very hip and trendy, but I have to say they back it up. The food is good and the drinks were very delicious.
I haven't been. I looked that the guacamole was $17 and I refused to go unless I get a comp meal.
Yeah, so if anyone, any millionaires out there looking for a strapping young blonde gentleman to take on a date, Brent wants to go to Oaks Moco and have two orders of $17
I just feel
guacamole.
Like you should just get guacamole. It should be $5.
Well,
I know that sounds
sure,
weird.
Sure, but, you know, it is what it is.
I'm already overpraying for cocktails. Like, give me the guac.
Yeah, it was very good. So the guacamole is delicious. Their drinks are beautiful. They have really fun frozen margaritas. And then my number one favorite, also a frozen marg, the Commodore, obviously.
The Commodore,
always and
yes.
For mother freaking ever.
I just heard on a different podcast.
Commodore in Williamsburg.
That the frozen margarita was invented apparently by wearing, I don't know if it was invented by wearing blenders, but Wearing Blender did this as part of one of their marketing things for their blender.
Oh, wow.
And they took the margarita and said, if you put it in this and like... And that's how that was born. I don't know if that's true or false.
Did they blend the glass? I'm picturing them
putting
the whole thing.
I was listening to that on Molly Weisenberg's podcast. It's kind of funny now in our world of media. We have a giant game of telephone, and that's why like this whole fake news thing. Because you're like, I heard on a podcast, and that person could have made that up.
Oh, yeah. This
I might be making up stories.
I've never even seen a tequila sunrise. Fake. I had a fever dream about this.
My
last
name's
night.
Not Breton, and this is not Zara. And if you're taking mushrooms, this is not a podcast.
Yeah, you're not even. You're dead.
Yeah,
you're all dead.
My friend Rafael used to say, "We are all already dead."
Well, I love frozen margaritas, dead or alive, and I'm dead serious about that.
Well, I'm deadpan on this fucking Chinaco Reposado. I'm telling you, I want to.
Cool. We got to get some of that. So I just wanted to, like, as you were mentioning earlier in the show about Planned Parenthood, I feel like since we do have this little bit of a voice and a small platform to say something, you know, I'm sure most people listening to the show on Heritage Radio of all places are pretty much like-minded. But if you're not, I just wanted to mention that I think I was reading something the other day and this point really resonated with me. Clearly, we stand for choice and women's rights and human rights here, it's very easy to protect the unborn. They're not really real yet. And like these are the same people, obviously, who are not really caring so much about a lot of other issues of people who are already alive, right? Healthcare, you know, incarcerated people's rights, trans rights, LGBTQ issues. These are a lot of people who are so for life that don't really care about people who are already alive. And to that, just again, it's very easy to protect people who are unborn. It takes a lot more to look inside of yourself and figure out how to actually help people who are already here on Earth, because that takes actually like going outside of your own comfort zone of making any kind of change in your life, of lending a hand or money or anything to help actual real people.
Do you think, I have a weird question. Do you think if we, you know how in other countries when they're like, oh gosh, if you get caught stealing, then you get your hand, the first time you get your hand chopped off.
Right.
And then of course some unlucky people get their hand chopped off and then it sends a signal and the rest of us are like, no, really. Like, don't steal that pack of gum because
right.
you will not have a hand. And so
right.
then their fear is really distilled inside of us. What if we started like chopping off dicks?
Penises?
And then like that sent the message, be like, no.
Right.
Do you understand? Like, as soon as this is done, you're going to get caught, especially now because of iPhones.
You mean
and cameras.
With like rapists?
Yeah. Like, should we just start chopping off wieners
sure.
and then be like, I'm so sorry.
That's fine. We could just chop them off no matter what, just as soon as a baby is born to avoid any further complication down the line.
Yeah. Game of Thrones. I mean, they chop off a lot of dicks there.
Totally. Perfect.
It happens.
Everyone, but, your dicks were coming
So that's
through.
Like a way to, before, you know, let's before we talk about abortion, this, like, you know,
right.
oh, and then. I don't know, man. Anyway, what a crazy
world.
What
a crazy time. But I think it's just important to remember that, like, you know, we all have within us, whether it's this issue or another issue, we have a voice and we have in this country choice and we have, and choice is something that should really be appreciated because it goes for everyone, right? So pro-choice is just a extension of everyone's right to be a free person and to like live their lives in a way. You only get this one little bit of time.
Exactly.
Having an abortion is a horrible thing. I had one. It was terrible. It was really difficult. And nobody just does it for fun. So respect the women around you in your life and trans women and non-conforming women and men and just respect human beings and their right to exist and do what you can. Donate to different places. Donate your time. Donate your money, your efforts, your good intentions. text someone you know who's had an abortion, text your mom, whatever. Just do something to participate, because this is very serious human rights violations and we need to be serious about it. That being said,
we also have the choice to have a different tequila.
We have,
and we have the choice to drink responsibly.
We
because I forgot to mention that
should do that. Yes. Oh, that's true.
That's an
drink
that's
responsibly.
Next, we'll talk about that during our sobriety session of the next three.
Totally. So thanks for listening to that. More, I know we're really silly and hilarious on this show most of the time, but you know, every once and then we have to lay it down for realsies. I hope everybody enjoyed this episode and that you're drunk and happy and
that's
full.
That's right. And just remember, if you make a tequila sunrise.
Do it the old school.
I don't know what else to tell you.
If you make it to tune in next week to find out the answer to those questions and more here only on Life's Banquet on Heritage Radio Network. Brett and Scott
signing off.
Hasta la pasta.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.